Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen. In today's episode, we'll be talking with Cheryl Snow, who's retiring after 20 years as executive director of the Clackamas County Arts Alliance. She'll tell us about the work the Arts Alliance does in each community and why it matters.
And we'll be having our first intervention on the Can Be Now podcast. Have your tissues handy, listeners. It's about to get real. But first, the news. A West Lynn man remains in custody at the Clackamas County Jail on multiple charges, but at least he can rest easier knowing his boat isn't at the bottom of the Willamette River. Mark Simon, 41, was arrested by West Lynn police on October 16th for allegedly siphoning gas from a motor vehicle for the 30-foot Sea Ray fishing boat in which he reportedly lives. The 40-year-old boat must have needed more than just gas, though, because at some point while Simon was in custody, it began to take on water. The boat was illegally moored at a public fishing dock just upriver from the Oregon City Bridge. When Clackamas County deputies were called to the scene on October 24th, they found the craft mostly underwater, held to the dock by a single remaining mooring line. The CCSO dive team was deployed, securing the boat with additional lines while other arrangements were made. On Monday, the Oregon State Marine Board and a contracted crew initiated a salvage operation that was ultimately successful in recovering the vessel. For video of that operation, check out our website. Simon remains in jail on charges of possession of a stolen vehicle and third-degree theft, with his bail set at $40,000. He's also been served with a post-seizure notice, requiring him to pay the costs of salvage, towing, and storage for the vessel, or risk losing the title to it. The Canby Traffic Safety Commission and concerned residents are asking the City Council to restrict trucks and other commercial vehicles on certain streets in town and to post signs to that effect. The change requires a new ordinance amending the city's traffic code, which councilors will consider at their next meeting. One of the main areas of concern is Southeast 13th Avenue, which trucks use between Ivy and Sequoia Parkway, a route that takes them by a middle school, a popular park, and a number of residential neighborhoods. If the change is approved, signs will be posted there and on other restricted streets that read "No through trucks, local delivery only," and these restrictions would be enforceable by Canby police. Councilors will also consider changing the structure of the city's library board. Right now, all five of the board's members live within city limits, which some feel does not adequately represent the interests of all the library's patrons, namely those who live in unincorporated county areas. The board would like to expand to 7 members, with 2 seats designated for residents who live within the library service area, but outside of Canby city limits. Alternatively, the city could simply wait until the terms of 2 of the board's current members expire and replace them with county residents. The board is also asking the city to add a non-voting seat to the library board, which would be held by a Canby High School student to, quote, diversify their perspective, assist their efforts to reach a broader segment of the community, and improve the planning and decision-making process. Council will meet at 7 p.m. November 7th at the Canby Civic Building on 2nd Avenue. Police beat for the week of October 9th through the 15th. On October 10th at 6:06 p.m., officers witnessed 2 individuals trespassing on a property on Knightsbridge Road and stealing fruit from a tree. One of the fruit bandits was found to have outstanding warrants for their arrest and was taken into custody. On October 11th at 2:30 p.m., a landlord reported his rental home had been posted for rent on Craigslist without his knowledge or consent. I might have tried contacting Craigslist before I called the police, but, you know, to each their own. At 7:29 that night, police witnessed a vehicle abruptly pull off the road near Malala River Bridge and flash hazard lights. When officers stopped to assist, the department's canine alerted them to the presence of drugs inside the vehicle. A search yielded user quantities of methamphetamine, heroin, and drug paraphernalia inside a purse in the vehicle. On October 12th at 5 p.m., a man reported receiving a new iPhone in the mail that he did not order with his name on the receipt. This is the second report we've gotten like this. Guys, who is sending people free iPhones? And can I please get one? Anyway, on October 14th at 5:13 p.m., a traffic stop was conducted on Highway 99E on a vehicle traveling well under the posted limit with expired tags. During the stop, officers learned the driver and her passenger had suspended licenses. After finding illegal drugs in multiple locations within the vehicle, both the driver and passenger were arrested for possession of methamphetamine. Finally, on October 15th, 5:02 p.m., officers made contact with a man who parked under a no parking sign on Southwest 2nd Avenue. That wasn't his worst crime, though, believe it or not. Officers found the plates on the vehicle that had been reported stolen and located a substance in the vehicle that later tested positive for methamphetamine. The man was taken into custody for theft and possession of a controlled substance. Okay, so my guest today is Cheryl Snow. She's currently the executive director of the Clackamas County Arts Alliance, but not for too much longer. Congratulations are in order, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on the program. You're retiring at the end of this year, right?
Next month? I am. December 31st.
Yeah, congratulations.
Not that I'm counting down the days.
No, of course not. No, you wouldn't do that. You have been the executive director for a very long time, ever since the beginning. You want to tell us how long you were part of the initial push to even stand up the Arts Alliance, so let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure, I'm glad to do that. Yeah, the Arts Alliance was actually founded by the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay.
In that era, 24 years ago, we always think of our founding mother as former Commissioner Judy Hammerstedt, longtime mayor of Lake Oswego after that.
Cool.
And Judy looked around when she was in office and decided what was lacking in Clackamas County in terms of community life was a focus on arts and culture. She decided, and she brought her colleagues along to found what was known
very
at that
willingly,
time.
I'm sure.
I mean, I'm really pleased that we've had strong support from the start for embedding arts and culture in county life, but that's where it began. As an advisory commission to the Board of County Commissioners. There are presently, something like 63 advisory boards and commissions that respond to a variety of different things
They've
community
got everything.
Life. Exactly. Yeah. But that's where we began. So I was one of, I think there were 18 people at the start. I was one of those appointed to that original advisory board, which we, as a group, decided to name the Arts Action Alliance. And we spent about a year and a half to 2 years trying to figure out what the heck it is that we were charged with doing.
Right.
And once we
That's always tough, that initial stage where
it's just
like, do this.
Yeah.
You know, promote arts and culture, but it's like, how? Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, you have your eyes on the horizon and the big picture, exactly as you say, you know what it is. But it's like, you know, which road to get there is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak.
How did you do that?
So the way we did that is we worked beginning with a facilitator who was appointed by the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and that was very helpful. It's always great to have somebody who's kind of stewarding and leading a group of people, and that was very effective. We established a set of priorities and objectives, and at that point we decided as a team of, I think by that time it was 15 volunteers, we needed a leader. So we, with some help from the county and some help from RAC, Regional Arts and Culture Council, we hired a part-time manager, and that person held the reins for a couple of years, and we agreed on a parting of the ways. It wasn't a good fit, and at that point, my colleagues asked if I would step in as a temporary interim, and
temporary.
I said, well, sure, I'll do that.
So temporarily, you've been there for 20 years now. Time is relative, right?
So exactly.
That's temporary to, you know, a rock maybe that's been around for millions of years. But can you talk about what for people who may not be too familiar about what the work that the Arts Alliance does now broadly? I know you do many different things.
Yeah, so broadly, everything that we do is all about keeping arts and culture central to life in Clackamas County and in all of the communities. And if you know anything about this county, you know it is huge. It's in terms of landmass, the largest in the state.
Yeah.
Goes from the other side of Mount Hood all the way to the perimeter with Gresham on the other side, west side, all the way into Tualatin. So lots and lots of different communities,
right.
And each with their own personality and yes. their own needs and objectives. So the work that we do is, I think the best way I could explain this is, we ask people what they want before we give them what they think, what we think they need. And the way we do that is we conduct surveys, polls, interviews. We talk with people. We're always visible in communities. We convene community meetings.
Yeah.
And out of all of that ongoing work, we evolved responses to needs, and those became our programs.
Do you find that's an awesome approach? That's really cool. Do you find, obviously, you get a pretty good response from that as far as people liking that approach?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it is difficult for me to separate my personal life and values from what I do for my work. And it has occurred to me many, many times over, particularly in the times we're presently living in, that what is so sorely needed and so hard to come across is somebody to listen to you. Listen, listen.
Yeah.
And that's what we do really, really well. And that's, I work with a team of six other people, and that is our highest value. We ask people, and we listen deeply, and we respond to the best of our abilities.
Do you find that you, when you are listening and collecting that input, that you find a lot of commonalities from people, or is it kind of all over the place as far as what they want slash need?
Yeah, I'd say that's an interesting question, because there's broad commonality, but when you sort of drill down into how do we craft a program to meet this. But every community, I used to joke with people, it's like I go from, say, Malala to Tualatin, and sometimes I feel like I need a passport because it's so very different. The culture, the community, the people. But what is common, no matter where you are, up on the mountain or in like Oswego or Malala, it's again, wherever, what people share in common is this deep, even a passionate pride for the community that they live in and their own unique identity. And that's been a really fun piece of my work, to be able to understand that there truly is a difference between what comprises the culture of the city of Malala, for example, compared to the culture of Lake Oswego. One is not better than the other or different from the other, but they're rooted in different histories.
Yeah,
and that's
for sure.
Sort of part of like that human story. You know, I often have thought, you know, we wouldn't be human if we didn't have the ability to communicate our history and our heritage. But every community has its own distinct history and heritage.
Yeah.
So based on that, and based on the fact that people choose where they live for the most part, they are identifying with wherever it is that they have chosen to live.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure that's very appreciated. I think that especially in the small towns, sometimes people feel like even countywide things, but especially statewide things, you know, regional things, miss a little, you know, that they're just sort of coming in, telling, here's what's going to happen, not really listening and whatnot. And I'm sure that's very appreciated, how much you obviously value the unique characteristics and values and principles that are important to each town and their unique histories. You know, before I came to talk to you, the reason I was a little late to our meeting, I was up in Portland. I felt like I sometimes need a passport going up there. So I know what you mean as far as that goes. So coming back to, obviously, your retirement, looking back a little bit, is there any particular work or projects that you've been able to do over the years or that the Arts Alliance has been able to do that you're most proud of?
Yeah, that's a big question, because it's like, you know, pick your favorite child.
Right.
You know, they each have their own.
I could tell you my favorite child.
No, or your favorite kitty cat.
They don't
cat
listen
or
to
puppy.
This, so I can say whatever I want. They're young.
Well, you know, some of it too, I have to say, after a couple of decades, memory starts fading, or my memory is starting to fade. So working from now on back, I'd say globally, the program that I take a great deal of pride in is our Youth Arts for Change program.
I was going to bring that up if you didn't,
That began, as almost everything does, very serendipitously. Our work is, like I said earlier, rooted in listening for sure, but in collaboration. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a tiny staff, six, seven people, including myself, huge county, lots and lots to do. Our strategic plan occupies 18 pages of tests. How do you do that? Well, you do that with a lot of help and a lot of people. Yeah. So we work with partners. Mm-hmm. Often we cultivate partnerships and we create relationships.
You ally with them?
Yes, we do. Very clever. Yes, we do. And where Youth Arts began is we happen to have a very serendipitous relationship with a very creative and innovative theater director who happened to be a board member and who happened to, for a variety of personal reasons, have great interest in teenagers who were struggling. So we got together and started thinking about, well, what if we apply, his name is Kirk Mauser, what if we applied Kirk's skills with kids and with theater with the county's juvenile department, which is kind of like a transition place for kids who are starting to get into trouble with the law. And we and the juvenile department, we knew, had always conducted a variety of different programs that helped kids gain self-esteem mm-hmm. and get confidence. And we thought, well, what if we started using theater mm-hmm. as a tool to do this? And one thing snowballed into another. After three successive years of great success with Youth Theater for Change, we put that on the map by virtue of the fact that the National Association of Counties gave our program an award for the most innovative program in the nation.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so that allowed us now, I keep talking about revenue and money, but you can't do anything without without support.
Yeah.
So that honor allowed us to seek more funding from other donors and foundations, and we decided to expand from theater into a variety of different other programs and working with different populations. So mm-hmm. without going too deep in the weeds here, what we have now is a tripart program. Still, youth theater is at the heart, working with the teenage kids who are remanded to the juvenile department, but we do a very deep dive into that work with the teenage boys who are remanded to the residential facility at Parrot Creek Ranch. And that program, and this is all based in finding the right teaching artist who has the skill to teach the work, but also the skill to understand the needs of these kids. Because the point of this program is not really to give kids art skills. The goal is not to have them leave the room with a toolkit of art.
Yeah.
The goal is to use art mechanisms as a vehicle to gain protection against risk, to gain self-esteem, to gain the ability to navigate with confidence in their world. Yeah. And we designed with the counselors at Parrot Creek Ranch a means to do that, and it too became, by both of our levels of assessment, they have evaluation tools, of course, and as do we, and the counseling staff was so impressed with what was happening there that they decided that from that point forward, our, we call it the artistic media program at Parrot Creek Ranch, is now a required treatment modality for all the boys
sure.
who are in residence.
Yeah.
And then that led us to think, well, you know, this is great working with kids who are already engaged with juvenile justice. What happens if you connect with them prior to that?
Mm.
So we, with another partner, Todos Juntos, we decided to focus on middle school kids in rural communities.
Okay, cool.
And Todos Juntos works specifically in rural, Sandy, Estacada, Molalla is where the Todos Juntos program operates. And
okay.
we chose to work in Estacada Middle School and one of the middle schools in Canby with that team of people. That's been in place now for 2 years, and we're starting to see some really sound results out of that, where we're focusing on with those kids, most of them are Latino, but not all. And the focus there is on identity. We call it the interview project. So the kids, through, again, a variety of different art skills, photography, silk screen, drawing, and writing, we're kind of allowing the kids to think about who are you? And some of the subjects that have arisen have just been so powerful. One kid last year, a young girl, did an entire set of photographs based on her experience of having been bullied the prior year. Very powerful, very compelling, much more than I can convey in words. But that program has been a source of never-ending enthusiasm for me. Sure. I feel very gratified by it.
Sure. And that's awesome. I'm sure art is such a great, you know, art obviously is such a great vehicle for that, you know, for helping kids, especially at-risk youth. Like you mentioned at the beginning, you want to help them find their self-esteem, their self-worth, you know, these other deeper values. That's not something you just force on kids, you know, just have these values. It's kind of got to be found from within, and the mechanism of art, of things that they like to do, I'm sure is so helpful and so good at that. Okay, so we're almost out of time. Last question for you here, Cheryl. What's next for you? What's next for the Clackamas Arts Alliance, as far as you know? I mean, is it just going to collapse as soon as you collapse in on itself, as soon as you leave this vacuum?
I am so pleased to say, no, it's not going to collapse.
I think it's going to live on.
It's going to live on, and I feel really great about that. We are very stable financially. We have a great board of directors, excellent staff. And the board is presently at work in interviewing several really strong candidates, finalists. So we expect to have a new ED in place, if not by the end of the year, early in 2019.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so things will continue, and I'm sure we'll get better. And for me, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone's asking me, what are you going to do? I don't have any concrete plans. And what I said to somebody, I've been working.
Take a nap.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been working since I'm 17, and I need to see what it feels like not to work.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good for you. Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you so much for your work with the youth in our county and with all the different artists in all our communities. Congratulations. And really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, Cheryl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome to the Can Be Now Soapbox.
Yeah, Can Be Now Soapbox.
Yeah, so this is, you know, where we talk about stuff.
And,
Yeah.
You doing all right, Frankie?
I'm
you
fine.
Seem really quiet. Like, normally you're really excited about this segment.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got something I need to talk to you about, Tyler.
Is this an appropriate place to do that?
I think this is the only appropriate place, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So
What's going on?
You should sit down.
I mean, I am sitting down. I'm always sitting down.
Continue to sit down.
You think I podcast standing up?
You should keep sitting down for this.
Okay.
This is an intervention.
Oh.
About you not voting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're not planning on voting.
I was like, I don't have a drinking problem. I don't do drugs.
That you know of. Yeah.
This is weird, but voting, got it. Okay, yes. I understand.
I have
it's
a
very
letter
serious.
That I would like to read to you. If you
you're being for real.
If you could sit down.
I am sitting down.
Okay, I would just ask you to listen to this and not interrupt me.
Okay.
So I can get through. Dear Tyler, I know we haven't been talking much lately.
We talk
and we
every
haven't
day.
What did I just say?
I'm sorry. Just...
And we haven't sat down together in a really long time. But I love you dearly and I'm happy we are here together today.
Okay.
You have played such a huge role in my life. I have so many memories of spending time with you. Remember when you taught me how to swim?
No. I was
Frankie.
I was really afraid. Yeah, what?
I never taught you how to swim.
Will you let me swim? I was really afraid, and you told me to pretend that I was a dog and do the doggy paddle. You know how much I love dogs. I often think about what you said to me when I was having trouble in my new school in the 7th grade, and you dropped me off.
Frankie, you're from the other side of the country. I didn't know you in 7th grade.
Let me finish my letter. Okay. You reminded me that it's more important to be myself than to lie, just so people would like me. That helped me get through a tough situation. I couldn't have done it without you. I trusted you to help me, Dad.
Where did you get this letter? Where
I found it online. It's a template. Shut up.
No, okay, but I'm not your dad.
I know that you are not planning to vote in the current election.
Is this a template with that, or did you change that in this template?
I know that not voting is addictive if you drink too much of it. And you have been drinking too much for a long time now.
Right.
I don't know if your doctor explained it to you, but addiction is a disease. Your body is used to the not voting.
Not voting?
Now, and it always wants it. People who work in addiction say it would be really hard for you to stop on your own. I read about how an addiction to not voting makes people feel and look, and I've seen you that way so many times.
Did you just replace the word alcohol with not voting? Is that the only work you did in this?
Last month, when I came home, you were standing in the kitchen acting dizzy, like you were going to pass out. You were just rocking back and forth and didn't respond when I talked to you.
Obviously, too much not voting.
I was so worried. I really don't want you to have to go to the emergency room again, like last year. I love you so much. When you don't vote, it really hurts me. I know that you would be worried about me if I had a disease, because you love me too. I'm not the only one who loves you. We all do. That's why we want you to get help. It's hard for me to say this next part, but I have to, for you and for myself.
Oh, no.
If you don't vote today, I am not going to protect your not voting addiction anymore. I won't tell lies to people for you anymore, Dad. You are the one person who always told me never to lie.
Right.
If your boss calls and asks why you aren't voting, I'm going to tell the truth.
If you ask me
what's wrong with you, I'm going to tell them the truth. If my teachers ask me what's upsetting me, I'm going to tell them the truth.
But I'm not voting.
It doesn't have to be this way. You can get help. This disease is 100% treatable. Will you accept our offer and go vote today? With all my love, name. Frankie.
Yeah.
Frankie. I forgot to change.
I feel like for being as sincere as you were being, there was not a lot of work done in the reconstruction of that template.
So that didn't change your mind, that letter I just read?
I mean, it feels a little... A little contrived.
That letter came from the heart.
It feels like it just came from the internet.
It came from both. Okay, well, I have something else to play for you, because it's not just me who's worried about you.
Oh.
So I've got...
Is this like my actual dad?
I couldn't find him.
Oh.
Here we go. Let me find it. I should have had this queued up. Here we go.
You
ready?
You
ready for this?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Todd Gary. I'm a division chief at Canby Fire District. Hey, Tyler, I understand you're not going to vote this year. We got a lot of firefighters down here that really do a lot for the community and are out there.
And all I ask is
to be an informed voter. And, you know, if you need a ride to the ballot box because it's getting awful late to mail your ballots in, we could probably come pick you up, give you a ride down there,
show you how to put it in the box.
That's probably the easiest part, is putting it in the box. If you need any help, Tyler, just give me a call.
So that's let's not do that one.
No.
So if
I get a ride in a fire truck,
you would do it.
To vote, I am down.
The firefighters are putting their lives on the line, man. He's laying that guilt trip on you pretty thick.
Yeah, it was. That's.
I got another one. You ready for this?
Another one.
Another one.
I just thought you got that during your interview with Todd.
No, this was.
Did you ask everyone you interviewed?
No.
Oh.
I only have one more. Now you're just setting people up to. No, this is the only other one I have.
Okay.
Test. We're good. Whenever you're
testing.
All right,
take one.
Yeah.
So, Tyler, this is Brian Hodson, mayor of Canby.
The mayor? You got the mayor?
On the fence about whether or not you're going to vote. I want to encourage you to vote.
Voting
may not right now seem like it's an important piece or that your voice doesn't matter.
He's so serious.
One vote does matter. And without voting and putting in a say... One direction or another, one person or another, one day you may wake up and go, I don't like where we're at. And if you've never had a say in how we got to where we are, then how do you all of a sudden step in and decide to have a say? I really want to encourage you to vote now, because later on it will be much more impactful than many of us realize.
Wow. So, wow, you got the mayor of Canby.
I got the mayor of Canby. So we met the mayor. Yeah. He's a nice guy. Like, we met him this weekend. But just hearing that voice, I feel like he wants to break your ankles. Like, you know,
it's if you don't vote,
you're gonna wake up.
He's super Italian.
He is Italian.
He is Italian. Yeah.
I wasn't gonna make that joke, but it was in my head.
I'm gonna bring my bat down to your house.
You're gonna wake up with a horse's head in your bed.
You're gonna wish. Oh God, I wish I voted.
He's from New Jersey now.
All right. Well, I do have.
That crinkle.
That's my ballot.
This
I got
is what
my ballot.
I was thinking, because like this is like the millennial thing. Like you have to do it with an audience. I think is a millennial.
I need
thing.
People to validate me doing this process. Yeah. I've got my government issued pen.
Because you're so young. Like
I'm like 1 year younger,
so younger
than you.
Than me. You millennials need validation.
So
for
what,
everything
it,
you do.
You're honestly,
gonna,
I will say
you're
this.
You're gonna Instagram
here's what
this
I'm
whole
say.
Process. I think
first I'm gonna turn my volume down a little bit. I will say that opening this ballot, this is the first time I've ever opened a ballot that
has
ever been mailed.
So we've done progress.
I'm not joking.
Yeah, we've progress.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Why? Do you want to explain why?
Yeah, I'm a millennial. What's the point? Right?
I'm a millennial?
Like, I've never voted. I've never been. All I've ever gotten is like my dad, my uncle, my grandpa saying, you need to vote because people have died for you to be able to vote. And part of me is like, yeah, okay. Whatever, I don't care. And I know that sounds bad, but it's being honest. I'm starting in my later 20s to understand that a little bit more as I have family and friends who are in the military. But on top of that, I am starting, especially with this show, I'm starting to see a lot more around me and how I can affect the things around me.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And when you're in high school, when you're an 18-year-old and it's that first time you're going to vote, You're either so excited about voting as an 18-year-old that it becomes a part of who you are.
That was me.
Or you are so ingrained in just playing video games because you're still a kid in your head.
It never gets in.
It never gets through. And so that it doesn't ever become important. And so then you go into your 20s and you basically just complain about everything and never want to actually do anything about it.
Yeah.
And that was me.
Yeah.
So now, as an almost 30-year-old, I am starting to see that voting does matter.
Yeah.
And just how important it is. I mean, you got the mayor of Canby to talk to me directly. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I legitimately teared up a little bit. Yeah. Even though it's kind of a joke, I kind of get that.
He was being genuine,
but
though.
He sounded
it's really
genuine.
Important to him. Yeah.
So I've got my ballot here.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna fill it out. It is not as daunting as I had thought
it's
it was.
It's a one page.
It's double sided.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that stuff important on the back?
It is.
Those are the measures.
Those are the ballot measures on the back, and the candidates on the front.
Okay. So it's not as scary. It's not like this thing like. You always see in shows like they go to the booths, they have to go and you have to like show your ID and all kinds of stuff. Like this is literally like it's as easy as just paying your bills. Even easier than paying your bills.
It
you
is.
Don't have to pay anything.
You don't have to pay anything.
It's as easy as ordering your next Netflix movie. That's an even worse reference. So I am genuinely moved.
Yeah.
This is not a joke. He's
got the ballot in front of him. I'm looking at it.
I've got it. So I'm going to fill this out.
Most of this was a joke, but you're actually doing this. This is cool.
I think I am touched at your enthusiasm. I am touched that people like Todd and Brian are willing to take time out of their day to have fun with this, but also say something really important.
Serious message.
And so this goes out to you young listeners who don't care, that you don't care. Like it's so simple of a feeling. I felt that. I know how you feel, and I'm still fighting through it in my own life. I it's hard for me to be very into everything, but you need to understand it's easy to do. The government does as much as they can to
make it as easy
as possible.
Yeah.
And it takes 2 minutes out of your day, you drop it off, and you are literally changing the world around you.
And Canby Fire District will give you a ride to the ballot box from Todd Gary's mouth.
Maybe not them, but they did promise me that. I might hold on to that credit for a little bit and just be like, hey, you promised me a ride.
I'll give you his number.
Yeah. So that's I'm gonna stop talking now. I'm gonna fill out this ballot.
All right, awesome. Hey, so the letter worked. All right, cool. Yeah. Turn off the mics. It worked.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, Cheryl Snow, as well as Todd Gary and Brian Hodson. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episode. Be sure to catch our show on Thursday. We'll be sitting down with the general manager of Filbert's Farmhouse Kitchen, a new restaurant opening at the end of this year. And stay tuned to the Can Be Now podcast on Tuesday night. We'll be dropping a special episode with the results from all your state, county, and local races and ballot measures. If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on our program, or suggestions for how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow, or on our website, canbenowpod.com. Thanks for listening.